You could be seated. Sometimes it's just so powerful to sing that and to sing about God's love in our lives. Today we're going to continue our series through the book of 1 Samuel. And the last couple weeks we've been in this book. We're going to be in chapter 3 today. So if you have your Bible or your phone or your tablet, feel free to turn there with me. If not, that's okay. It's going to be on the screen behind me. We're going to be in chapter 3 today. And last couple weeks we've been talking about this and how in the first chapter, how Samuel's mom prayed and prayed for him to be born, and eventually he was. And in chapter 2, how Eli, he's the head priest right now, he's kind of the head honcho, how he's mismanaged the temple, and it's kind of prequel, it's kind of foreshadowing of what's to happen, that Samuel will be raised up to be this priest, to lead Israel in a direction of faithfulness once again. And right here in chapter 3, we see that for the first time, God reaching out to Samuel. So let's dive in today. It's chapter 3. We're going to start right at the beginning and read the whole chapter today. This is what it says. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I didn't call you. Lie down again." So he went and lay down again. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I didn't call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again, a third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall speak. You shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his own place. And the Lord came and stood calling as other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare it to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said to him, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What is it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall into the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord, and the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Let's go before God and just ask him for his help with this as we talk about this passage today. But Father, we pray that as we dive into your word, God, that you would speak to us. Would you soften our hearts to everything that you have for us, God, everything that you're calling us? Would you speak to us today? And would we be faithful with what you're giving us? Would we be constantly, God, would you help us to be constantly faithful with every single thing that you've given us? We want to do that, God, so help us too. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, hey, I want to do something just a little bit differently than we normally do. Usually, we dive into the passage that we read, and we really go into detail and say, okay, what does this mean for my life, and how do I live this out in a godly way? And as I was preparing for this message today, I was thinking about this familiar story that many of us know as a kid. Even we hear about this story in Sunday school. And I was thinking, okay, you know, we got to be faithful with what God has given us. We got to be bold to do the things that he's speaking to us. But before we kind of dive into that passage, I want to address a couple questions, though. Because ultimately, I think this whole aspect of God speaking to us can be a little daunting if we're honest. Even for Christians who have been Christians for decades and decades and decades, it can still be a little daunting. So I want to address just a couple of questions. First of all, how does God speak to us? And second of all, how do we know it's God? Like, how do I know it's not just like the bad burrito that's been sitting in my fridge that I ate last week that was in there for a week already? And, you know, like, how do I know it's God? It's not just a sense that I'm feeling, you know, that I, or it's not just my own preferences that I want this. How do I know it's God? I'm going to give you a few litmus tests today to see if it's really God speaking to you. But before we do that, let's just go into his word. We're going through a lot of different passages today, and we're going to see how God speaks to us, because I'm afraid that if we don't learn to recognize his voice, we're never going to be able to do what he's calling us to do. Like, in other words, if you can't know it's God, if you can't hear from God, how on earth can you possibly do what God is calling you to do? So today we're going to look at a lot of different passages. You've got to buckle in your seatbelt, take out your pen and your note outline. You're going to want to take notes on this, and you're going to have a big list when you leave this place, all right? So let's talk about how God speaks to us. First and foremost, he speaks audibly. We see that in this passage in 1 Samuel, and there's no place in the entire narrative of Scripture here that we see that this has stopped. You know, some people would say that was great for the Old Testament, but it's there. God doesn't speak audibly anymore. Or that's good for, you know, New Testament times, but that doesn't happen anymore. Well, God still speaks audibly to us. He still has that ability, and people still hear from them. But I do want to put a little caveat in there, is that through Scripture, it seems that God speaking audibly actually is the exception, not the rule. Here's what I mean by that. As we see God speaking to people, it actually seems that audibly seems to be pretty rare. That seems like he more of moves in the Spirit, that he gives us a sense of something, or he speaks through a prophet. Hebrews actually puts it like this in Hebrews chapter 1, 1 and 2. It says, long ago at many times and in many ways, God spoke to us, God spoke to our fathers by prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. And so he's saying, okay, in the Old Testament, he's mostly speaking through prophets. In the New Testament now, and further on, today's era, he's speaking through his Son. But God still speaks audibly to us. It just seems like that's the exception. So how else does God speak to us? Not only does he speak audibly to us, he also speaks through other people. Hebrews kind of mentioned that as he speaks through prophets. God also speaks through other people. God did not design you to be a Christian all on your own. He designed you to live in a community of other Christians. That's why the church is so important. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. This is what it says. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it might give grace to those who hear. Do you see this, that we receive this grace by those people speaking in to our life? So God can speak through other people to us, but I want to give you just a quick caveat on this one as well, because I've known a lot of people that they're seeking God's will, and so they're asking other people, and this is really good. You know, you're asking other people, what do you think? You know, this is good, but here's the tendency that I think some of us have when it comes to this, is that we'll ask 100 people, and 99 of the responses are pretty similar, right? They're all no. Like, this is not good. Don't do this. But we kind of just, like, cling on to that one person who says, yeah, dude, go for it, bro. Like, you know, and they're just, like, clinging on to this one person who's telling us yes and ignoring 99 other people. Okay, so we're going to get into that aspect just a little bit later, but I just want to give you that quick caveat here. How else does God speak to us? Well, not only does he speak audibly and through other people, he also speaks to us through his word. This is a big way that God speaks to us. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says this, and this is why we think Scripture is so important, is because Paul writes to Timothy, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So it's not just the New Testament that we cling on to. It's not just Jesus' words. It's all of Scripture. It's the Old Testament. It's the New Testament combined. All of Scripture, we cling on to this. Why? Because God speaks to us through his word very often. How else does he speak to us? Well, so far, audibly, through other people, through his word. These are all pretty normal ones. We're going to get in some weird ones, okay? You ready for them? All right, number four, he speaks through his creation. Now, you might be like, okay, we hired a hippie, young, millennial pastor who's a tree hugger. Okay, I'm not trying to do that. I just want to reference a couple psalms. Psalm 19, 1 and 2 says this, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day, look at this, pours out speech, and night to night reveals his knowledge." Nature reveals God. Look at how Paul writes it in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. He says, "For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made." Do you see this? So nature actually reveals who God is. I take a day, once a season, I try to take four of these per year. And I leave the office and I get out in nature and I just pray, because I feel like this is something, you get out of your environment and you get out in nature and you get in his creation. And it's just something that God can speak through. It's just another way that God can speak through, and it can be really powerful. And sometimes I feel like we kind of ignore that, or we look at that and we go, well, that's for hippies and, for millennials or whatever. But this is really how God can speak to us, is through his creation. Number five, how else can he speak to us? He can speak to us through our experiences as well, through our life experiences. You ever look back at something? Maybe you're a little bit more experienced. Maybe your hair's a little lighter colored, as in gray or white, than it used to be, right? And you look back at your experiences, and you can learn from those. And this isn't just like, okay, you messed up, or you lost money doing something, or, you made a mistake, and so you learn from your own experiences. This is God speaking to you. This can be God speaking to you. So what does that practically look like? Well, I want to point out James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4. James writes it, and he says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So God can speak to us through our experiences, and it can actually deepen our faith. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. He says, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested and genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So sometimes God puts us through these life experiences to speak to us. Maybe he wants to teach us. Maybe he wants to deepen our faith in something. And even if we find ourselves in those situations, maybe it's not God that put us there, but we know, hey, I put myself in a situation that just was not ideal. God can still speak to you through this, and he wants to. So he speaks to us audibly and through other people and through his word, creation, through our life experiences. Also, and this is kind of a weird one, so buckle your seatbelts here. Number six, through dreams and visions. Now, this one's kind of strange, and a lot of times in our culture, we don't typically think about this, God speaking to us through dreams and visions. But in Scripture, actually, it's very common for people to have a vision or to have a dream. Let me put it, we're not going to list out all the times that this happens, but let me just highlight Acts chapter 2, verses 17. It puts it like this, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy," and look at this, "and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." So you might ask yourself, what's the difference between a dream and a vision? It's real complicated. You ready for it? A dream is when you're asleep, and a vision is when you're awake, all right? But God can speak to you through that. Now, I want to give you a quick caveat on this one as well, though, because many of us, we can have dreams, and sometimes we can even overemphasize those dreams. Let me put it like this. I once had a dream that I was a seahorse, okay? Was God telling me that I need to become a seahorse? Probably not, right? But I remembered the dream. Okay, so not every dream you remember is God speaking to you, but it can be. There are certain dreams that just stick with you throughout the day, and you just keep thinking about them. You know those dreams? I mean, you can forget about them, but it just seems to stick with you day in and day out. And you're like, why is this? This is just messing with you. Maybe this is the Lord trying to tell you something. So if that's the case, get yourself around some other people and ask them, some other godly people. And we'll go through that next list. How do we know it's God? Because let's be honest, sometimes you just have a seahorse dream. And it's just weird, and it's just out there, and it's just your brain trying to remember. I don't know, I'm not a neuroscientist. But, you know, it's your brain doing what God created it to do. But sometimes, it's God speaking to you. Last and final way he speaks to us is simply through the Holy Spirit and our conscience. You ever just get that nudge towards something? You ever just, you have the feeling, right? You're just saying, man, I for some reason, I just feel like this is what God wants me to do. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13 puts it like this. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And look at this, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his own good pleasure. Do you see this? This is God working within you. The Holy Spirit abides within you if you're a Christian. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit abides within you. And he's going to work within you to do his work and his good pleasure. So God can work within you. But that's not the only way. He's also put something within you called your conscience. And you might say, isn't that kind of new agey? Like, is that really Christian? Well, take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. This is how Paul writes it. He says, the aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart. And look at this, a good conscience and a sincere faith. God has given you this conscience to say, hey, this is my will. This is my kingdom. Now, a lot of people have seared that because they've ignored it, or they've gone through life experiences and things have happened to them so that their conscience is now seared and they can't hear from that. But God has put this within you. This is why I think also that a lot of people, even non-Christians, will fight for things that are godly, such as equality. You know, they'll push back against racism. Okay, this is good. This is what God commands. But the problem is, though, we have to keep in that this is God's kingdom pushing for this. And so the only way that this can truly happen is by pushing God's kingdom and not just one aspect of God's kingdom. But God can speak to you through that. But let's be honest. We may have gotten the nudge. We may have gotten a dream. Maybe someone else has spoken to us. But how do we know that those things that we've heard or those things that we felt are actually from God? Like, how do I know it's really God speaking to me? All right, I have a few different questions that I want you to use as a filter for these things. Okay, so I have 7 questions that we can use as a filter. The first one is, what does Scripture say? What does Scripture say about what I'm feeling like God has called me to do? If you feel like, there's something that you want to do and Scripture directly talks against that, I guarantee you it's not God. Because God does not contradict himself. He does not change. Now, he does fulfill the law. And Jesus says, I've come to not abolish the law, but to fulfill it, just as when you were a parent of little kids, maybe you said to your kid, don't run out in the street. Does that mean it's wrong to go on the street? No, you were just concerned about their safety. God does that in the Old Testament, but God does not change. He's constant. In other words, there's no new truths. Either it was always a truth all along, or the truth that you think is truth is not really truth. 2 Timothy 3:16, we've already gone over this, but this is why we think that Scripture is so important. Paul writes this in Galatians 1, verse 8. Can we see that on the screen? Galatians 1, verse 8 says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we've preached to you, let him be accursed. Do you get what Paul is writing here? That the gospel is consistent. It does not change. And so if you feel like God is speaking to you, just ask yourself a simple question. Ask this, what does Scripture say about it? And in order to do that, there's kind of an essential thing that you need to do. You got to read Scripture. You got to dive into it every single day and immerse your life with God's Word. And when that happens, there's something interesting that happens to our brain. Paul writes about it in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing, look at this, you may discern what the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. You see that when you constantly read Scripture and you allow for your life to be transformed and not conformed by the world, but transformed by God, suddenly you get like almost this like sixth sense about things, right? And you could say, you know what? Scripture's pretty clear on this. This is not something that's okay. And even though I feel like God's telling me this, I know it's not because it's not consistent with His Word. So that's number one question. What does Scripture say? The second question I want you to ask is, does it deepen my relationship with Jesus? Does it deepen my relationship with Jesus? God is not going to call you to do something that is going to take you from your relationship with Himself. That would be contrary to everything that God wants to do in your life. I want to read James chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. He says this, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it's earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. So here's a real litmus test here, right? Is it going to deepen my relationship with Jesus? You can say yes or no, and if you need more clarity on that, you can simply ask yourself, okay, is it about bitter jealousy? Is it just about me, myself, and I, or is it about pushing God's kingdom? Is it about advancing God's kingdom? Because what does that look like? Well, look at verse 17, but the wisdom from above is first pure and then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. If it's things like those, it's impartial, sincere, gentle, peaceable, pure. This is what's going to deepen your relationship with Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5 puts it simply like this. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. So we've got to take our thoughts, what we feel like maybe God is even speaking to us, and say, does it deepen my relationship with Christ? Is it obedient to Jesus in my life? So ask those questions. What does Scripture say? Does it deepen my relationship with Jesus? How else do I know it's God? Well, simply this, number three, ask other believers what they think. Other believers. And I put that intentionally here. Not just other people, but other believers. You can't just ask any Joe Schmo what you should do if they don't believe the same things that you believe. They're going to be coming from a different point of view on it. You got to surround yourself with other believers who are mature and ask their opinion on it. Hey, I feel like God is leading me towards this. I feel like this is what He wants me to do. Should I do it? What do you think? Is this scriptural? Is it going to deepen my relationship with Jesus? What do you think? Is it good? Ephesians 3:10 puts it like this, so that through the church, the manifold of wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. You see this, like through the wisdom of the church here. God didn't design you to be on your own as a Christian. God designed you to be in a body of believers who believe in Christ, who are mature, and can point you towards Him, towards His will. Proverbs 11:14 simply puts it like this, where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Get yourself in this abundance of counselors. But remember what I said about this as well. Don't seek out 100 people's opinion and have 99 come back with the same one and really focus on that one. Surround yourself with mature, godly believers and seek their opinion if you're really unsure about what God is saying. The fourth question I want you to ask is this. Does it fit with my giftings? Now, this is a question that I think a lot of people ignore when it comes to this, or they abuse it and they use it as an excuse. Let me put it like this. If you feel like God is calling you to open up a mechanic shop, but you don't know what a socket wrench is, Maybe you should just maybe think through that again, right? I mean, maybe this is not what God's calling you to. But you don't want to go on the other side of the aisle, too, and use it as an excuse. Let me put it like this. Moses in Exodus, God called him, right, to lead out the people out of Egypt, out of slavery. And what's Moses' qualm with that? He says, whoa, God, I can't do this. I'm not gifted towards that. I can't speak well. And what's God say? He says, I've got that covered. Don't worry about it. I'll overcome that. Don't you worry. You just be faithful. And so I don't want you to use this question as an excuse, but I do want you to use it as a filter. Let me put it like this, too. There's been several people in my life that love me dearly. They love me enough to tell me I'm a horrible singer, okay? And so I don't think that God has called me to a worship leader. I know he's called me to ministry, and I just don't think that involves being a worship leader. Because if I went up there and tried to do what Carolyn does, you probably all leave. You're like, yeah, that's horrible, Josh. Just stay with preaching, all right? Just don't go to worship leading, okay? You got to think about what has God gifted me with this and use it as a filter, but not an excuse. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 6, Paul talks about the church and he writes this, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function." You see this? What, we all have different giftings. We all have different functions. Not one of us can do everything. I can't sing. I can't lead children's ministry. I can do a lot of other things, but I can't do those couple of things, right? That's just not what God has gifted me with. Verse 5, "So we, though many, are one in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them." Do you see what Paul's saying here? We all have these gifts, right? And that you're really good with these gifts. But what does that imply? There are some gifts that you're not good at, right? There are going to be some things that you really struggle with. And that's okay. God didn't design you to be a superhero. He didn't design you to be Superman. And some of us, we want to just take on everything and say, I can do it. I just need to try really, really hard. That might be something really good to do, but it may be something really bad for specifically you to do. And so you got to ask God, is this something you've gifted me with? Because God's given you every single thing that you need to do to be faithful with what he's called you to do. But he hasn't given you everything to do everything. That's just simply not how it works. So ask, does it fit with my giftings? Number 5, you got to ask yourself, do I have the bandwidth for this? Do I have the bandwidth? Well, what does that mean? Most of us have taken the US 20 bypass. It's really close to here. It's kind of a main road through our community, right? And what are they doing to that right now? No one really knows, but there's cones out and people holding up shovels, right? There's trucks out. Okay, we don't really know what they're doing, but they're doing something. And what happens is they kind of narrow down the lanes, right? They put cones out. And what happens when you have cars that are used to fitting on two lanes now have to scrunch down to one? People drive a little bit slower, all right? And it's good because the speed limit is slower, right? So it just slows things down. That's narrowing the bandwidth of that road. And in our lives, we don't have unlimited bandwidth to do everything. Just like we're not gifted to do everything, we don't have unlimited bandwidth. And for some of us, we really struggle with this because, you know, we see all these good things that we can devote our time and our resources and our money to, but none of those are unlimited in any of our lives. I mean, not even like trillionaires have all the money in the world, right? They're still limited. And there's some people who seem like, you know, they can manipulate their time to work better for them and they're more productive, but they still can't do everything. They still don't have unlimited time. Not all of us have the bandwidth to do everything. And so you got to ask yourself, do I have the bandwidth for this? Can I fit this into my life? Now, here's the other thing, though. I don't want you to use this as an excuse. Because some people, you know, you could feel like, oh, you know, God's calling me to go volunteer at this or to go help out at the church with this or to give my money towards that. But, you know, I just don't have the time. I got about 3-hour chunk at Netflix at night from 6 to 9, and I really got, my couch is calling me, right? Okay, so don't use this as an excuse. And maybe by God calling you to do this, maybe he's even asking you to give up some things to create the bandwidth in your life to do the things that he's called you to do. So don't use it as an excuse, but use it simply as a filter, because we don't have unlimited bandwidth. Paul writes to Timothy about the church in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. And he simply says this to him. Can we see that on the board here? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Hey, Curtis, can we see that? Thank you. All right. But if anyone does not provide for his own relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and he's worse than an unbeliever. What does this mean? It simply means that God is not going to call you to give all your money and let your kids starve. Right? In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, he puts it like this: for if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how can he care for God's church? So you got to ask yourself, do I have the bandwidth for this? Because God isn't going to call me to do everything. I have seen some people dedicate too much time to church, and it ruins their family relationships. God's not going to call you to do that. You need to manage your own household first, and you have to ask yourself, okay, is God calling me to this? Do I have the bandwidth? Do I need to make the bandwidth in my life? Or do I simply need to do what he's called me to do really, really well? You know, some of us try to spread out, and we spread ourselves so thin that we can do about a million things really mediocrely, right? But we're not doing what he's called us to do really, really well. So ask yourself, do I have the bandwidth for this? Also ask yourself this: am I taking the Holy Spirit's job? Am I taking the Holy Spirit's job? God is not going to call you to convict someone of their sin. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Now, he may call you to call them out on something and say, hey, what you're doing is wrong, but the Holy Spirit's job is to convict. God does call certain people to call people out. In fact, in the Old Testament, there's this king named David. He's a pretty good king, but he has a pretty big mess up. He commits adultery and then murders that lady's husband, okay? Pretty giant mess up. But what happens is God calls the prophet Nathan to call him out on it. Nathan says, hey, what you've done is wrong. He tells him this story to illustrate it, but he says, hey, essentially what you've done is wrong. And David apologizes and it points him towards God. But it's God working in his life that convicts him. It's Nathan who points him towards God, but it's God who convicts. And some of us, we even want to go a step further than actually what God does. Let me read 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 2 and 4. He says, make room in your hearts for us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have taken advantage of no one. I do not say this, look at this, to condemn you, for I said before that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together. I am acting, look at this, with grace, boldness toward you. I have great pride in you. I'm filled with comfort. In our afflictions, I'm overflowing with joy. Do you see what Paul's doing here? He's saying, hey, listen, I'm telling you all these things not to condemn you, not to convict you of things, but simply to point you towards Christ, to point you towards God. And sometimes as Christians, we feel like we can see someone doing something wrong. We can pray about it. It's obviously confirmed with Scripture. Yes, they're doing something wrong. And we kind of assume that, oh, it's our job to call them out on that. It may not be. Ask God, am I taking the Holy Spirit's job? How can I point them to you best? Because honestly, you're only going to do two things with talking to other people. You're going to point them towards Jesus, or you're going to point them away from Jesus. And you can ask that question too. And am I taking the Holy Spirit's job? Am I pointing them away from you, God, by saying this, or am I pointing them towards you? And God still may call you out to say, hey, you need to call them out on that. And they may not have a good reaction, but you just need to put that in the Holy Spirit's hands and say, hey, it's in your hands, God. You convict them of that. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict. But not even God condemns. And sometimes we go too far and we want to condemn people for their sins. Look at what Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So someone's a believer, there's no condemnation. There's conviction of sin, but there's no condemnation. Look at what John chapter 8, verse 11. This is the lady who is about to be stoned for something that she's done. And Jesus comes up to her, stops them, and says, she said, no one, Lord. He asked her, who's there to condemn her? And she says, no one. And Jesus said, neither do I, look at this, condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more. So Jesus doesn't condemn us. He simply points us towards this path of righteousness, this path of a good relationship with him. I want to leave you with one final question to ask yourself when you're struggling. How do I know this is God? And it's simply, do I feel God's peace about it? Am I sensing God's peace about this, this decision that I've chosen to do? Or am I kind of filled with turmoil and anxiety about it? Now, again, don't use this as an excuse, because there's going to be some hard things that God calls us to do. There's going to be some really difficult things that God calls us to do. And it's going to be really tough in our lives. So don't use this as an excuse. But he's also not going to call you to something that is going to cause you major anxiety and turmoil. Because why? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 says, "For God is not a God of confusion," look at this, "but peace." Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." And look at this, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." If you really feel like God's calling you to do something, start praying about it. Start praying about it, because it's going to give you this supernatural sense of peace about it. Because ultimately, you're going to say, God's in control about this. And even if I feel really nervous about it, and I don't feel like I'm doing the right thing, but I really, really sense God's doing this about this, and he's calling me to do it, you're going to get a sense of peace. And you're going to say, you know what? God's in control. If he's calling me to do this, then I know it's the right thing to do. And I know I'm going to do this well. So ask yourself those seven things. How do I know how God, or what God is really calling me to do, and that this is really God? How do I know it's God calling me to do this and not just myself? Ask yourself these seven questions. And then it's real simple after that. If you really know what God is calling you to do, I don't have seven more points, so don't freak out. You'll get to lunch soon. But I do want to just cover one thing real quickly. What do I do after this? What do I do now? It's real simple. Number one, be faithful. That's it. Just be faithful with what God's calling you to do. If you've really gone through those questions, these filters, to ask, okay, what is God calling me to do? How does he speak to me? How do I know it's God? If you've gone through that process, it's real simple after that. It's a Nike moment. Just do it. Just go and be faithful with what he's calling you to do. Samuel, in this passage that we read this morning, he was faithful. He was faithful with everything that he was called to do. And you might be saying, I don't have the things that I need to do what God's calling me to do. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 puts it like this. His divine power has granted us to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. I believe that God has given you every single thing that you need to do what he's called you to do. God's given it to you. And if you're saying, man, this is great, Josh, but I don't feel like God has been talking to me lately. In fact, I feel like my relationship with Jesus has been pretty dry. I feel like just things haven't gone well. You know, I'm getting up, I'm going to work, I'm coming home, doing the chores, going to bed. And I'm just kind of caught up in the monotony of life. You know, I'm just kind of caught up in this, and I don't feel like God is speaking to me. Here's what I want you to do. Go through that first list, how does God speak to me? And just ask for God to pour himself out on you, right? I mean, go and just be open to him speaking audibly and through other people in your life, and dive into his word and say, all right, God, what are you trying to tell me? I'm going to start reading this every single day. God, what are you trying to tell me? Because I want to be faithful with what you're telling me. And go out in his creation. Just go for a walk in the park or a nature reserve. I mean, it's amazing to see what God can do when you simply get out in creation. And think about your life experiences and just say, God, what are you trying to teach me with what I've gone through? And be open to even dreams and visions, even that might seem weird. Be open to that. And lastly, just be open to God's nudging. Be open to the Holy Spirit working within you. You know, a lot of times it's not going to be this big, audible voice that God says, you, go do this. A lot of times it's not going to be like that. A lot of times it's just, you're going to have a sense of something. You're just going to say, I don't know, for some reason I feel like God is calling me to do this and get a new job or go talk to this person or give this person this thing or tell them this thing. I don't know why, but I've gone through those 7 filters, and I'm not using them as an excuse, but I just really feel like this is what God wants me to do. If that's the case, just go and be faithful with it. Just go and be faithful with what God's called you to do. And as your church, we want to help you with that. Don't keep it to yourself. A lot of times, you know, the enemy is going to try and convince you that you need to keep these things that God is telling you to yourself. And that's how we forget it. That's how we get unmotivated. That's how we say, ah, that was something for a past. I wasn't faithful with that. God's not calling me that anymore. That may not be true. God may still be calling you to that thing that he's called you to years and years and years ago. Go and be faithful with what he's called you to. And if you feel like, I've never heard from God. And in fact, I don't even know about my relationship with him. I don't know that I really have one. If that's the case for you this morning, does your church love you? And we want to pray for you. And maybe the thing that God is telling you this morning is simply this. Would you have a relationship with me? He gave it all so that he could have this relationship with you. He died on the cross. He gave his entire life all for you, just to have a relationship with you. If that's the case for you, we're going to sing one more song. I'd love to pray for you up here. You might say, I don't need to do that. But if God is speaking to you, be faithful to it. Or maybe God, you know, you felt like, God, I'm in this dry point. I haven't heard from God in a while. Come up. I'd love to pray for you. God wants to have a relationship with you. He's your father. He loves you, and he's a perfect father, and he wants to have a great relationship with you, and that involves him talking to you. So let's respond to what God's told us this morning through this last song. Stand with me if you will.